Give your word. Spread the word. Mark my words. Love the words. On East Leeds Community Radio.
Nothing compares to its song.
What time do you guys wake up at in the morning?
I wake up at 5, 6, 7 or 8.
I wake up about 11 or 12.
I wake up at about 8 and then I listen to East Leeds Community Radio.
So good afternoon and welcome to East Leeds Community Radio. You're listening to a special feature this afternoon on Love the Words, starring, featuring writers from across the road, Leeds East Academy, where I've been doing a writing group with some young people in the library, hosted by Miss Dingwall, who's here today, and Miss Buchanan, who set the whole thing up. I've got five fantastic young people here in Studio 2. They're going to be reading their own writing. They're going to be talking about their passion for books. So, first of all, let's hear who these lovely people are.
Hi, I'm Victoria and I'm in year 8.
What's up, guys? Name's Robin and I'm also in year 8.
Hello, my name's Alfie and I'm currently in year 9.
Hi, I'm Megna and I'm year 9.
Hello, I'm Christiana, I'm in year 8.
I'm Brody and I'm in year 9.
So, that's fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. They've all got pieces of writing to read. Some of them have been here before. So Brody, yeah, you've been here before, haven't you?
Yeah.
So when was that? Or what, who are you here with?
I with the from the same school, just with a different teacher who left. But I really enjoyed it.
Fantastic, Brody. And you've got something. You've got a piece of writing in our wonderful missing anthology.
Yeah.
So you're going to be reading some more stuff today. Brilliant. And Robin, you've been here before. What did you do before when you came here?
Before I was with a group of people. Honestly, it was really fun. It helped me express my creativity so much more. Some of the writing challenges and just overall getting on with everyone was a really good experience that I'd happily go back to again.
I think you're coming on Friday night for the Blue Owl.
Yeah, I will be there as well.
You were amazing. You just got up there and you did it. It was absolutely wonderful. Fantastic. So the people who haven't been here before. So, Cristiano, if you've not been to chapel, what do you reckon?
It's very amazing. The building and the whole studio, it's very open and I quite love the entire structure of it. And just the people here, it's all very friendly and welcoming.
Oh, that's nice to hear. That's very nice to hear. Alfie, what about you?
My opinion on Chapel FM, it's a nice place and it seems like it'd be really fun to work here. And I want to do technology or mechanics myself, so if I could, I'd love to work here in my own opinion. And it's really nice, it's nice, it's not too hot, it's not too cold, but it's really nice, just the studio and everything. And the people here are absolutely amazing.
Well, that's really nice to hear. You haven't been here very long, we can change, you know. But no, we are pretty nice and we actually really love working here. Thanks, Alfie. And if you want to come do some technology, yeah, come and do it. I know you're technically minded. There's lots of scope for that here. So, Meghna, what do you think of Chapel FM?
I think it's like an interesting place. I could see how the history has built it up. And I feel it's like quite nice to be in here. Like, it's comfortable and, yeah, the people are welcoming and open.
And did you have a biscuit?
Yeah, it was really good.
Good.
I have to say that.
Which did you have?
Three, maybe?
Three biscuits? No, I didn't ask you how many you had. I don't know, I just said you're only joking. So, Victoria, yeah, you haven't been here, but what do you reckon to Chapel FM?
I think it's quite a nice place, but I kind of caught my eye on the room where usually the Blue Owl is hosted. I mean, it would be a pretty cool place to do historical reenactments.
Oh, fantastic idea. Yeah, you said when you're up there. So what, kind of reenacting things from that era of the chapel being built?
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty interesting to do trials. Like, it does look like quite a courthouse kind of room. And you could do, like, witchcraft charges or treason. That would be pretty awesome.
It does look like a courtroom, doesn't it? And it's, yeah, that's a really good idea. Well, I might actually hold you to that. Because we've got our 10-year anniversary coming up, so if you want to stage a reenactment of a witch trial, that's a great follow-on from the Methodists, isn't it? I'm sure they'll approve. That's a great idea. So what we're going to do, first of all, we're going to hear some of the pieces of writing that you've been doing. I've been visiting the school once a week for the last 5 or 6 weeks, and, yeah, it's been just a lovely thing to do. We don't have much time, but you really just get down to it, and you're right, and it's really a fantastic thing. So, Robin, you're going to be doing the first thing. If you push the microphone over to you, what are you going to read?
So I'm reading Little Boy, but it's my own story, but it's kind of a redo. I did have an original, but I'll be honest, I have no idea where that's gone. So this is Little Boy. A snow planet, cold yet beautiful, Takashi murmured, taking in the beauty. Too bad he had to go home to Earth. He tread through the rough snow, feeling the cold weather against his hands. Then he felt some under him. He stepped back, looking down in curiosity, yet also a strange amount of fear. There he saw a small boy, with white hair, covered in bruises and blood. He only looked to be about 4 or 3 years old. Takashi took in the sight, his eyes widening in horror. Oh God! He picked up the boy, feeling his pulse. Thank God the child was alive. It was a miracle how. He dug into his bag, pulling out a large blanket, wrapping the boy up. There you go, little guy. He walked to his ship, taking the large machine with a smile. He jumped inside, sitting on his chair, hugging the boy as he turned on the heating to keep the boy warm. As they began to fly home, he leaned back in his seat, making sure the little lab was comfortable. He watched the boy stir and eventually wake up. The boy looked around in wonder, looked around in wonder. Takashi didn't mind the boy and put him down, letting him look out of the space containment. The little boy smiled, enjoying the sight of planets, comets, stars, and many more. Obviously, he was hungry, his stomach growling like a beast after its dinner. Takashi laughed and, from his bag, picked up a small tub of strawberries. The little boy picked one up, popping it into his mouth. He chewed it for a few seconds before smiling, eating the rest happily. Takashi laughed lightheartedly. You see them, little one? They're special. They're called planets. The little boy smiled and tried to speak, though because of extreme hypothermia, he just couldn't. Takashi didn't mind. He let the boy look out the window. What a fabulous sight. He'd raise this boy, just like he wanted.
Thank you very much, Robin. That's the first piece of writing from Leeds East Academy Writing Group this afternoon here in Chapel FM. So I'm going to go to somebody else. Brody, she's shaking her head. Victoria, you'll read next, I'm sure. Could you grab the microphone?
I'm not completely sure which piece to choose from, so I think I'll choose with one of my favourites. Let me start. I am the timekeeper. I know what you're thinking. This guy's mad. But I'm serious. I'm not a big, tall, cloaked man with a long beard. In fact, I'm not human at all. Take a guess. I'm the one that finds you, stalks you, and watches you until it's your time. I'm the one that will take you away from your loved ones and laugh when you scream and cry. I'm the one that brings you places more terrorizing than you can ever imagine, and I'm the most unstoppable, heartless, merciless creature you will ever lay your eyes on. I hate you. Well, I don't really hate you. I hate your kind. When it's your time to die, it's your time to die. These humans are not only inventing things like CPR and defibrillators, but they are living longer. And if it were my choice, I would kill you all, because you are the problem. You are disgusting, cruel creatures who you don't deserve to live. And you are the ones ridding me of my youth.
Thank you very much, Victoria. You do tend to the dark.
Yeah. I've been described as pretty morbid from a very young age, but it's just my type of writing.
It's lovely stuff. Thank you very much. And we did some work around the idea of clocks and timepieces, things that tell time and people who keep time. Lovely. That's where that came from. So, Cristiano.
Okay. So, I'm going to read a bit of a funny one. I hate being here. No one ever sees me for who I really am. No one ever thinks about me. Being just a simple lanyard is utter torture. Not to mention one of my true nemesis. The one who calls themselves Robin. Flung around, torn apart, forced to be the beating bag of a symbol of recognition but simple identification was all anyone will ever see of me. They're all so lucky to be humans. You never need to be flung around, treated as the object I am. So be grateful for the life you have and live it to the fullest.
Great stuff. Thank you very much, Cristiano. Lovely stuff. Let's move on. Magna.
I wrote about my favourite object and from its perspective of view, so let me start. I am the creator of the melodies, whispering pleasant rhythms with each stroke of the bow. My strings, a passionate tapestry with the threads weaving stories of love, tranquility, pain and fragility. In every note, a piece of my soul, presence, untold stories. My melodies dance freely in the air, only when I'm in the maestro's hands, guiding the souls on a musical journey.
Lovely stuff, Magda. And that was, what was that?
It was about a violin.
Lovely stuff. It's different, isn't it, from reading in the group? I know it's got a lot of pressure here with the microphones, but you're doing really, really well. And you're part of another writing group, aren't you, at
yeah.
the school? Tell us about that.
It's about first story. Yeah. We write a writing piece and we give it to the company, which they would release it as a book. It's kind of interesting, and I have done like two pieces. I don't want to reveal it. I'm waiting for the book. Yeah.
Excellent. Well, we'll hopefully have you in and First Story Group when, and maybe reading from the book when it's launched. That'd be really good. Would anybody else like to read? Brody?
Yeah.
Go for it. What have you got there?
I'm going to read one of my short stories. The theme was being haunted. It haunted me. I don't know what it was. Only I saw it. Only me. I don't know why. I need to get out of here. Help me. The next one is going to be about a crime scene. It was on the floor. Still. Not passed out or alive. Could be dead. Blood was dripping out. Why? My final one would be about a young girl. She lived. She loved. She died.
6-word story. That's quite a hard thing to bring off. Could you read it again, please, that last one?
She loved, she lived, she died.
Yeah, lovely stuff. Alf is shaking his head. You know? Okay. That's fine. You've been sort of in and out of the group, Alfie, haven't you, for various reasons, but it's entirely optional. So we're going to hear some more readings in a bit. I've not left anybody out, have I, so far? We've got a track now we're going to play that you've chosen. Somebody chose it. Let me down slowly. Tell us, who was that who chose that? Magda, why did you choose that?
It really chooses, like, my character. It reflects it. And that's how, when I go down, or sometimes, that's the song.
This night is cold in the kingdom. I can feel you fade away. From the kitchen to the bathroom sinking, your steps keep me awake. Don't cut me down, throw me out, leave me here to waste. I once was a man with dignity and grace. Now I'm slipping through the cracks of your cold embrace. Oh please, please, could you find a way to let me down slowly? A little sympathy I hope you can show me. If you wanna go then I'll be so lonely. If you're leaving, baby, let me down slowly. Let me down, down, let me down, down. Let me down, let me down, down. Let me down, down, let me down. If you wanna go, then I'll be so lonely. If you're leaving, baby, let me down slowly. Cold skin, drag my feet on the tile as I'm walking down the corridor. And I know we haven't talked in a while, so I'm looking for an open door. Slipping through the cracks of your cold embrace. Oh please, please, could you find a way to let me down slowly? A little sympathy I hope you can show me. If you wanna go then I'll be so lonely. If you're leaving, baby, let me down slowly. Let me down, down, let me down, down. Let me down, let me down, down. Let me down, down, let me down. If you wanna go then I'll be so lonely. If you're leaving, baby, down slowly. And I can't stop myself from falling down. 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 Could you find a way to let me down slowly? Sympathy, I hope you can show me. If you wanna go, then I'll be so lonely. If you're leaving, baby, let me down slowly. Let me down, down, let me down, down. Let me down, let me down, down. Let me down, down, let me down. If you wanna go, then I'll be so lonely. If you're leaving, baby, let me down slowly. If you wanna go, then I'll be so lonely. If you're leaving.
So that was Let Me Down Slowly, chosen by Meghna in Leeds East Academy Writing Group. They're all here today with me in Studio 2. It's great to have you all here. And I hope we can do this again in the summer, because you will be raring to go after this if it's your first time. So we're going to now just chat a bit about books. These are people who love words, you like writing. So, Christiana, first of all, why do you come to the writing group?
It helps me express kind of my... creativity, definitely not taken from someone else who said that earlier. And just write what I like to write about. It's not really something, sometimes an English lesson. I'm not given the opportunity to write about stories that I really am passionate about. But in the writing group, I can write about whatever I want, sometimes whenever I want. So it's very open, and I can just do what I'd like, basically, in writing terms.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Christiana. And now a book or a series of books that you are particularly fond of that you would recommend to somebody.
Definitely one book would be What's That in Dog Years? It was a book that I read at a very young age. And it made me very upset at one point. It's about this boy who had a dog who was comforting him in hard times. And unfortunately, the dog had limited days. So they planned about a bucket list, and eventually the dog passed away. And it made me cry, I'll be honest. But it's such a heart-hitting book, and it makes you really think about your pets and people close around you, and just to appreciate them that much more.
Thank you. And thank you for being, it's good to be moved by a book, isn't it? I think it's good to be moved. Books that make you cry, you laugh, wonderful, wonderful things. So, Cristiano, what was it again, the name of the book?
What's That in Dog Years.
What's That in Dog Years. Brilliant. Thank you. Alfie?
Yes. The book recommendation I have, it's not a book, it is a manga. So if you don't know what a manga is, it's basically, it's a booklet basically where it's full of like anime things. It's based on anime usually, but some are just manga and no anime. This one's a manga where it's coming out soon. And it is called Alia Sometimes Hides Her Feelings in Russian. It's about a girl in a school, a high school, where she has really good grades and she likes this boy who's not really that smart. He's slouching off and he's lazy in general. But the thing she does is she acts like she hates him in her own language, but secretly she'll speak Russian to him, expressing her feelings. But what she doesn't know is that he knows Russian because that's his first original language, and he's known what he's saying for a long time. And it's got like, I think it's got 140 chapters, but it's really good. And I would totally recommend it to anyone who likes anime, especially romance animes. It's such a good one. The anime comes out on June or July. I can't remember exactly.
It sounds like a beautiful story and really well. You've really summed it up well for us without giving too much away. So thank you, Alfie. Great stuff. We'll look out for that one. Victoria?
So I know horror is not everyone's taste, but I think one of my absolute most favourite stories and books, well, it's not really a book, it's actually quite, like, graphic. It's The Mist by Stephen King. It's a novella, and it's basically about these terrifying creatures that roam outside, and it's covered in mist so you can't even see them. And these people are trapped in a mall or grocery store and they have to stay there and survive. But because people are going so crazy, people turn on each other and look for solutions and things that will help them and comfort them during times like this. And it makes them go kind of insane.
Sounds like your kind of thing.
I think it does.
No, it sounds great. Stephen King is a really good writer. Yeah, absolutely. Totally, totally echo that. So thank you very much for that. The Mist was a novella. Robin, yes, take the microphone over.
So a book that may, again, not be everyone's taste, but surely is mine, is the Heartstopper series. But for me, it's probably book three. The whole series follows the story of two boys, Nick and Charlie, who come together, who fall in love and end up trying to face their own fears. The reason why I prefer, it's not really prefer, it's a book I enjoy a lot more, is book number three, following their Paris adventure. It's because, well, you can see, it's about them two and, well, they've, even their friends, they, it's just a really good story and their plot, but also it can be sad. The whole series can be quite sad if you look in it in a deeper view, following Nick's anxiety and Charlie's own anxiety as well. It can be sad, but it's also just really great. It's a really great series. The Netflix series Heartstopper is also out. I've watched it many times.
Thanks, Robin. Yeah, we know you like the Heartstopper series. You've talked about it before, and it's really nice to hear you talking about it at more length now. Thank you very much. So, Brody, if you want to talk about anything you've read that you like.
Because I'm a massive history fan, I would say my favourite book, but it is quite sad, is Schindler's List. It follows a Jewish girl who wears red, and she gets buried alive under a load of dead Jewish people. But it's a really interesting book, but it's also a sensitive topic. Mm. But I do like the book. And I also like The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas, because it follows a young boy whose father's a Nazi. And he tries saving a Jewish boy, but he ends up getting killed trying to save him. Mm. But I like my history books, and they're two of my favourites.
And you're also big on the classics, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, mythology.
Yeah.
Great. And history, I did history at university. I don't regret it. It was a lovely, fantastic subject. You've got it for life. Brilliant. So, yeah, that's all the book reviews for the moment. We're going to have a quick pause now while we get Miss Dingwall and Miss Buchanan into place around the table because Victoria has a question to ask them. So we'd like to welcome Miss Dingwall and Miss Buchanan to the table. First of all, thank you both for making this writing group possible and for choosing these fantastic young writers for me to work with. But it's great, a great thing that we've got going. So, Victoria, what were you going to ask Miss Buchanan and Miss Dingwall? We're starting with Miss Buchanan first.
I'd just like to ask, what made you love books and reading and writing as a child? Or did you just not like it and it grew over on you on the years?
It's a great question. So I vividly remember carrying a book everywhere. So I think that love for stories was just kind of instinctive. But I always remember this really vividly and I'm kind of embarrassed about it. But you know, like the primary school bags, the like thin book bags, right? I used to carry the Harry Potter books inside them, like, you know, the big fat ones. So I remember feeling like it was like, you know, when snakes eat cows and there's like pictures of them. So I used to feel like that and I'd take it to the hairdressers and I'd take my books everywhere. So it was just always part of me. That's why. But I could add a little story. I think the reason why I love creativity as well is my mum used to actually use story writing as a punishment for me. Which sounds really ironic now, but if I did something bad, it wasn't, my punishment was go and write a story. And if I then backchatted to like now two stories, and once it got up to eight, and I would sit and I'd have to write stories, and that was used as a sanction, but actually I think it developed my creativity as well. So I owe my mum, I think, as well. That's my answer.
Shout out for your mum.
I know, yeah. Yeah.
And do you still do any writing?
Less so. I've developed more of an interest in painting now, so I'm still kind of expressive, but more in like painting, plant care, that kind of thing. But
that last thing you mentioned,
plant care,
yeah, okay.
Me and Miss Dingwall, we love our plants,
yeah.
So.
As long as that creativity is going somewhere, that's the main thing, yeah. Lovely, thank you very much, Miss Buchanan.
Hi, Miss Dingwall.
Hi.
So I also want to ask you the same question. So when you were smaller, did you like books and stories or did it grow on you over the years?
I think I was really fortunate in our local library was Crossgates Library, which was this beautiful Art Deco styled library. Didn't really know what Art Deco was at that time. But I remember kind of stepping in through those doors and it was very glitzy and bright. They had huge windows and kind of windows in the ceiling as well. So the whole library was like floodlit with natural light. The rooms were absolutely amazing. I remember the children's library with these beautiful kind of murals on the wall. And there was this amazing kind of round bench seating area with a quirky little heater in the middle, which probably wouldn't be allowed in this day and age with health and safety. But it was really cosy and it was a fabulous environment and it just kind of enthused you to read, really. And it was also very silent and all the areas were like had this amazing parquet wooden floor that squeaked when you walked on it. So you were constantly kind of told to shush. Libraries were very different in those days, so... But, yeah, it was just a beautiful, beautiful kind of environment and I was really lucky. I was really saddened to see that actually it's recently been closed down because I would have loved to have seen it being preserved. But yeah.
So we heard Miss Buchanan had a favourite series of books, perhaps Harry Potter, yeah. Carried around. Any books from being a child that you remember?
By far my favourite was Alice in Wonderland. I just absolutely love it. And I still love it to this day. I've probably got about six different copies in various forms. But I just loved Alice. Very curious. And I think I was a very curious child who liked to stick my nose in where it shouldn't be. So consequently, Alice gets into all kind of scrapes, meets some really kind of quirky, bizarre characters. And I just love it. I'll always love Alice.
So we're back around the table. I've got the six writers from the writing group, and we've got a final group, sorry, final piece of writing to read. Who'd like to go first? Go Victoria then, since you've got the microphone with you.
Okay, so I want you to try and guess what this story is in the perspective of. And let me just start. So, I absolutely hate my life. I don't like how people look at me every day and see themselves when I don't have a clue what I even look like. Every day, it just feels like I'm slowly losing my memory, because without seeing yourself, I guess you could say that a piece of you is missing. It's like an undiscovered part of yourself, which holds the key to your eternal happiness. But you can never find out what lies there, because I have no limbs. And you're probably wondering how I am writing right now, but a magician never reveals his secrets, even though I wish I could, because I'm singing every day, but my wishes are never heard. But I will make them hear me. I tried to be considerate. I tried to understand. But these humans have to learn their lesson. So I will send their clones and encase them in my reflective walls. It's true that it's bad to not see yourself, but it's even worse to only ever see yourself. And I will make sure that by the end of it, they won't even know who they are. So they know what pain is, and not just some stupid insecurities that you have that I have to listen to daily.
What was it from the point of view of?
I guess it's a mirror.
Good. Thank you very much, Magda. Thanks, Victoria. And the next one is Robin. So you'd like to pass her the microphone.
So, for all my Genshin Impact fans out there, I've made a character card, which is a kind of an OC description. Say you were to click on a character, you'd find kind of a description, maybe even voice lines, and this is one I've made my own character, again, named Xyrus, and here I go. So, Xyrus was usually a fun guy, playing around in his home nation, till he moved to Sumeru and joined the academia. He's a race car mechanic and owns his own racetrack. Disclosure, he doesn't. Usually he finds himself covered in oil. He's just unlucky like that. But he doesn't mind. How he got his vision. He doesn't talk about his family. He never does. He hates them with a heavy heart. If he's asked to, he'll refuse instantly. But he will talk about one person, his little brother Marco. He keeps him by his side. He took him with him when he left his hometown ages ago. So this one day, he was in his garage fixing up a car. He was trying to fix some nuts and bolts together while obviously trying to clean up the oil. He kept Marco outside the garage. He just didn't want anything getting dropped on him. But as he noticed a gang of mushrooms. If a mushroom is kind of a big creature, but also not. They were trying to attack him. And obviously, Xyrus hated that. So he went and decided to protect him. As he slayed the final one with his claymore, he noticed a shiny purple gem on the floor, which would later become his electrovision.
Wow. Your story's always very involved and with lots of plot and, always fascinating. Yeah. Thanks, yeah. Robin. And Christiana, you were saying, would it be possible to ask questions of people after their writing? The thing is, we don't have a lot of time to do that today, but I think it's a really, really good point. And I think next time we'll build that in to the broadcast we do because, yeah, I think it's always nice to be able... Some people don't want to talk about the writing they've done, but some people really welcome that question. But we don't have time today. Sorry about that, Cristiano.
Okay.
Okay, so who's next? You can read next because I've done you wrong.
That's amazing. It's fine. Don't worry about it. Anyway... this is not plagiarism, it has the same start as Victoria's. We all did the same writing based off of a first sentence. Just want to make that clear. All right. I am the timekeeper. As he stared into the void, it stared back at him, almost mocking his futile efforts to keep his sanity in check. Exhausted, he fell onto his knees, almost choking, trying to make a breath of air he so desperately needed, his hope withering away into nothingness as memories are discarded. This once sanguine self, now a hollow shell of tragedy, only mimicking his appearance and not his determination. A woman stood, her hairs crimson as the blood she'd shed, stood before him demanding to obtain the power she'd craved for, the power which the timekeeper had. Her eyes, so beautiful, yet so cruel and unmesmerizing, suffocated those who met its demise, and flooding their hearts with an eerie demeanor, which let them know their existence was coming to a close. You are the timekeeper, she tried, but not for long.
Ooh, okay, the last line, literally. Yes, people are doing a silent clap. Yeah. Thank you very much, Christiana. Yeah. Is everyone else?
Oh,
yes,
okay.
This is the last reading. Oh, go on, make that.
It's a 16-word love story. No powerful weapons, no bustling conflicts, no painful battles, though how did he win my heart?
Read it again if you would.
No powerful weapons, no bustling conflicts, no painful battles, though how did he win my heart?
Lovely stuff. Yes, a 16-word or 18-word, 16-word love story. Lovely stuff from all of you. Thanks so much for coming along and being brave enough to read. Thank you to Miss Dingwall. Thank you to Miss Buchanan. We'll do this again, I hope. It's been lovely to have you here at Chapel FM. Sadly, we have to go, but there is one track left to play, which is, who'd like to introduce it? Alfie can introduce it.
Don't Stop Believing, and I can't remember who the artist is, by Journey.
And Robin would like to add something?
Just a quick thing to say. The reason we picked this song is because at Leeds East Academy, about a year ago now, which I'm still very sad about, was the Rock of Ages show, and I happened to play Franz Kleinman myself, and this song just brings back so many memories of fun times I had with all of them.
Thank you very much. Victoria would like to add something else?
I just want to say that I think listening to this song in the Rock of Ages show was probably one of my most favourite memories so far of being in Leeds East Academy. And it was, I just remember listening to it and dancing to it over and over and over again. I think we did it around 4 times and it made the show 10 times. It went over 10 times, okay. And we just kept on dancing, and now everyone basically knows the choreography off by heart.
A singer in a smoky room, a smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile they can share the night, it goes on and on.
Lego. So you're listening to Love the Words on East Leeds Community Radio from Chapel FM, and it's fantastic. This afternoon we have 3 members of the steering committee of Leeds International African Arts Festival who are going to talk us through what's happening with the festival this year, in its second year, what they'll be doing, the exciting things that are unfolding as
the months go forward to when it happens, which is in July. So hello, Ndidi.
Hi. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
And thank you for having us.
Oh, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. Hi, Nana Essie.
Hello, Peter.
And
thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you there. Hi, Sueli.
Hi, Peter. Thank you.
So, Ndidi, to begin with, just give us, if you would, an overview of the festival and how it came about.
I'll start by introducing myself. I'm Ndidi Nkwopara, author, life coach, and the creative producer of the Leeds International African Arts Festival. So we're very happy, you know, as always, I'm lost for words, but because I'm very passionate about the work we're doing, creating our presence culturally, showcasing our heritage, learning more. It's all part of what we do and part of what I do as creative producer of the festival. So Leeds International African Arts Festival, LIAF for short, is in its second year now. We debuted as part of the Year of Culture. In our work, we have engaged with over 20 African communities here in Leeds. And LIAF is a multi-art form festival. Last year, we showcased music, jollof cooking, we had a cook-off amongst caterers from four African communities in the West African region who are battling over who is the best jollof rice cook. Yeah, so that went down very well, and the winner surprised everyone. We also had an anthology put together by 10 contributors. Some were new writers and some were
that's beautiful, actually. No, so you're holding it up there. Our City, Our Lives, Our
Yes,
Stories.
Our City. Yes, yes. That's the anthology.
It's a beautiful book, and we've got a copy in our library now at Chapel FM. It's got some wonderful writing in it. But yes, are you planning to do something similar for this year, or something, or do it differently?
We have some new things, and we are doing some of the things we did last year a bit differently. We have screening of African films, our partnership with Cinema Africa, which is a strand of Hyde Park Picture House, continues. However, this year we're introducing films for children, you know. So later on we'll announce the specific films, but it's something I think they'll love. I've had a sneak preview. The other things we have something new, children's anthology, but I'll leave that for Nanaisi and Lita to talk about. Yes. We have an exhibition coming up in partnership with the Leeds Museum and Galleries. And I can announce today that we have visiting Dutch artists from the Netherlands. Yes. So watch this space. We have exciting things coming up. Let me not take up everybody's time.
Thank you, Peter. Brilliant. That's a great introduction. Thank you, Ndidi. So, yes, Nana Essie, we're talking about the anthology from last year. It's a beautiful book with some lovely writing in it. So how are you involved this year?
This year, I'm facilitating the children's contributions towards the children's anthology, which you're part of as well, Peter. And our session started Saturday gone, and it was absolutely splendid for us. You know, the writing from everyone gave me goosebumps. And when I got home, I actually went to look for a piece that I wrote, because I've done the I Am exercise as well. And I found a poem that I wrote, and I just thought, oh, wow, that is a very evocative prompt. You know, and
You've done a lot you do a lot. I mean, you're a writer, you're a storyteller, I know you do lots and lots of different sessions, and I think we all kind of sort of borrow from other people's writing workshops. But that was one that was introduced to me recently. I just, for the listener, just to say that it starts with a very simple opening, which is just to write a list of I am down the page, and then to fill those out. So it could be I am, it can be true, or it can be a fantasy, it can be an aspiration. Yeah. But they I was so impressed with those young people. This took place at Chapel FM, the workshop on Saturday, and they were so Saint and Diddy, they were so committed, they were so just desperate to write. So you must be looking forward to that process, Nanessa.
Absolutely. I can't wait. There's just so many different exercises that I have for them. And I'm hoping that, you know, on the theme of Africa is not a country, there'll be so many gems coming out of that. So, yeah.
Were you go on.
And well, we're calling it a working title for now is Africa, the supercontinent, or is it a supercontinent? Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah, Africa, a supercontinent. Yeah, is the working title for the anthology. It may change along the way. We don't know just yet. But sorry, go ahead and ask what you were about to ask, Peter.
I was going to ask you if you were involved last year.
I was. I did some of the workshops that was in conjunction with the Discovery Centre, the Leeds Museums, Arts and Museums, and they allowed us to use some African artefacts with which we used to, prompt, the creating of the writing for the anthology. And people went away really, really inspired, I'll say. And it was incredible. There were so many things. And also last year, I was the storyteller for the children's events, which was an incredible experience, because there were three different strands to the children's events. There was the sensory workshop, and then the arts and crafts workshop, and then everyone came to the storytelling and the sets that was created by Sueli and Jamila. That was just incredible. So it created an ambience of storytelling from back home, which was, we're hoping to do something similar this year.
Brilliant. And yes, and you're coming to Chapel FM on July the 6th with the children's event. So that will be a public event anybody can come to, I guess. And so it will be, that'll be a fantastic event. So, and just before we move on to Sueli, Nanessa, where can, if people are listening to this and thinking, I'd love a copy of that anthology, where do they get it from? Or Ndidi, where did we find it?
Yes, the Our City, Our Lives, Our Stories are available on lulu.com.
Lulu.com.
Yes, if anybody wants to buy the e-version. However, at some of our events and pop-up stores that happen in Leeds, where I'm often at the Mahogany Market and a few other pop-up stores, they can buy from any of the contributors.
Lovely. So, Sueli, or Lita, so what about you? How are you involved? Tell us your involvement.
Thank you, Peter, for having us today. So my name is Sueli Correa. I'm also known as Lita amongst my friends and family. My involvement started about nearly 2 years ago, when I met Ndidi at an International Women's Day event. And I was fascinated with the event and the women that were speaking at that event. So I then asked for a few questions, and I was invited to attend a meeting with all with the African communities to kind of discuss what was going to happen in the festival. So what I realized in there was that there was no representation of any of the Portuguese speaking countries, because I'm originally from Guinea-Bissau, which was colonized by Portugal. And there are some people from different countries, five African countries colonized by Portugal, that weren't represented there. So that was what made me want to be part of the festival. When we had the presentation of which events were going to happen, I realized there was nothing there focusing on children, and I'm really passionate about working with children. I mean, I wouldn't want to work with children every on a daily basis, like, you know, childminder or school or anything like this, but to have children involved in the festival, because if we are going to change the if we are going to change the vision, what's happening around us, I believe that we need to start with children. It's easier to mold them than to start with adults. So for me, it was really important to have an event where children and families as one will come together. And the vision we had last year was to, you know, we all miss being back home and having that grandmotherly figure telling you stories and bringing all that mystery and all of that. So that's what we tried to do last year, was to have arts and storytelling together, because traditionally African storytelling is done orally, verbally. So we wanted to bring that experience so that, you know, those of us that grew up in Europe, which was my case, would kind of having that feeling of what it is to be brought up in that way, but also to get the wider community involved and kind of look at African storytelling in a different way. And what we were challenged last year by a child that attended the inauguration of our book, the official launch of our book. And he asked something along the lines of, oh, will you have something like this for children? And Didi picked up on that and said, well, so for next year, it will be good to have a version of this, but for children. So Nanes and myself got together, and what we would like to do is to get the children involved and get them kind of waken their artistic vibe and get them writing and get themselves feeling that they are able to do this and to have their names out there talking about their backgrounds. And what we really want is to be able to print this. It's not going to be an official book like the one we had last year, but to have printed versions of their work and for them to be able to share this at their school with their communities and possibly have it in libraries across the country. That will be our dream. And then we will be also still having the art session and have the traditional storytelling as well. So it's kind of a three in one.
Fantastic. It sounds absolutely brilliant, Sueli. Thank you. Nana Essie.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing we also recognized is a lot of the children in the diaspora do not get to learn about their various traditions. And it's also about changing the narrative that is, you know, usually presented in order to bring, you know, cultural esteem, you know, to the fore. And you know, in terms of that, we're looking at also, you know, extrapolating the wonderful things that are, you know, hardly ever mentioned within the African continent. So that's one of the things we're looking at, you know, hopefully under the theme of Africa is not a country, then we get to visit a lot of the African countries on the continent.
It's a very ambitious project and absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's. Are there other workshops going on in Leeds at the moment? And Didi, I think there was. I saw something advertised in Hart in Headingley.
Yes. I was commissioned to produce a dance. You know, a story around the dance, African dances in Leeds, by the Leeds Community Foundation. And being the creative producer for the dance workshops as well as the festival, it was easy to just tie the two in together. With Africa being a very huge continent with about 54 countries, we have aimed with LEAF 2020, 54 countries, and perhaps some new ones are on the verge of getting their independence, the number might get higher. So we have aimed, you know, to try and represent that big continent, even if it's just via the regions. So for LEAF 2024, the theme is Africa is not a country. Again, the pillars for the festival is to educate, to inform, you know, to make aware for art enthusiasts, Africans themselves who don't know the history and heritage, you know, and the wider community, our friends and family. So it's a learning, it's a learning experience. And through the dances, what we've done is, again, gone to the 5 or 6 regions of Africa and selected dances. And then we have a professional to speak to the dance, tell us about it. And so we're learning rhythms, we're learning culture, we're learning history. And of course, we're promoting our well-being because we also get to dance to the steps of that traditional dance, yes. So it's a wonderful project. It's a 2-year project. So we're looking to have a documentary at the end of it next year, which we could screen at Hyde Park Picture House. But when we get to that bridge, we'll cross it. So the theme for the dance workshops is Africa is not a country, tying it to the festival.
And can anybody turn up at those? And are they, when and where are they? At Heart?
Yes, they will all hold at Heart. We've had 2 workshops and it was quite full. We have 2 on Saturday, the 13th of April. And the first one is a Ghanaian, is Sankofa masquerade dance from Ghana. Then in the evening, we have the Zulu Storms from South Africa. On the 20th, we have the Ethiopian, it's called Exista, reflecting 5 tribal dances and I'm happy with the young, it's run by, the dances are run and organized by a youth group called Ethiopian Weta Talk, and it's quite lovely to work with them and get to meet them. Yes, I think I'm very excited about the work we're doing. It's not just promoting community cohesion, but we're really learning. Like Sueli mentioned, we got to interact with the people from the Lusophone communities here in Leeds. We're talking about Mozambique, Angola, Cape Verde, Guinea-Bissau. I think I've missed out one. Yeah. So it's a beautiful experience. Mm-hmm. Sao Tome, yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Well, I to congratulate all of you and the whole steering committee really for getting this together. And I think it will become a kind of mainstay of Leeds culture over the years, and it has to keep on growing, doesn't it? And it will do, I'm sure. So congratulations, and we're going to touch base with you again in a little while, closer to the festival. But keep July the 6th at Chapel FM in the morning. That will be a fantastic event for the children's writing, children performers. Thank you all very, very much for coming along. And the actual festival runs from the 6th to the 12th. Right, got that right. And it's there'll be plenty of stuff then, and presumably publicity about that. Some sort of festival program will be out in a few months' time. So, okay. Thank you very much indeed, Sueli.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us. And also thank you for being a partner with the festival by allowing us to have our workshops at Chapel FM.
Well, we're really delighted
at Absolutely.
Chapel FM to be part of the festival in some way. And I really hope that partnership continues beyond this year as well and expands.
Parce que mortel est la routine, que le cœur se résigne. Grossine, grossine, immobile, mais le fond qui dégouline. Grossine, grossine, remue le bras pour voir si t'es encore en vie. Grossine, grossine, ou si t'es zombie, zombie, ou si t'es zombie, zombie. Oh.
love the poems, love the stories, love the words on East Leeds Community Radio.